This morning, we are going to talk about the Christian, the believer, and the workplace. And it's very important because you will spend a lot of your life working. And there are, when you get a job, there's a job description. And it's very important that you understand the key phrases in job descriptions, such as, it'll say, join our fast-paced company. And what that really means is, we have no time to train you, all right? It'll say, duties will vary. But that's code for anyone in the office can boss you around. That's what's going to happen. It'll say competitive salaries. But what that really means is we remain competitive by paying you less than the competitors. That's just how that rolls. It'll say must have an eye for detail, which really means we have no quality control. It'll say deadline must be deadline oriented, which is, again, code for you will be 6 months behind schedule on your first day. That's what's going to happen. It'll say seeking candidates with a wide variety of experience, which really means you will need to replace three people who just left. That's going to happen. And then you have a problem-solving skills, a must. I've always seen that. But what that really means is you are walking into a company in perpetual chaos, so get used to it. That's just how it is. We live in a work world that's not easy. I saw a report, a Gallup report, that 85% of people hate their jobs. Hate them. That's scary. 85% of people hate their jobs. And why do we hate them? Well, there's elements there that just drive us crazy. For sometimes it's just the work. You thought, I'm going to go into this career and this is going to be great. And then you get into it and it's like, I really don't like it. It's not fulfilling. It's not satisfying. And I'm stuck. Because to go back to school wouldn't work. And for others, it's, man, I feel underappreciated, overworked, underpaid. And the people I work with, can I just tell you, people that you work with will drive you crazy. Not here, of course, I will say that. But it's true. You work with people and it's difficult. And so, I mean, you read some of these stats on work, it's terrible. Like so many people are unengaged and they're just looking at the clock and they're stealing from the boss because they really don't want to be there. So they're busy doing other stuff. So this morning, we're going to look, as in our study in the book of Ephesians, we're going to look at a biblical perspective on work. But before we do, let's get started by looking at really the history of work. Why do we work? Well, God created people as workers. You're a worker. Whether you like it or not, you are a worker. And even those of you that maybe, I'm retired, or like I'm too young, I'm not working yet, we're all working. You might be caring for someone. You might be caring for your family. You might be, even if you're at school, you're working. There's things that you're doing. And God made, when he made this world, he created it. We are made in his image. And we have been given dominion over this world and over over God's creation. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, and the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. So God's a worker. And he planted, and there he put a man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And then it goes on in verse 15, the Lord God took the man, Adam, and put him in the garden to work it and keep it. So we are intrinsically made to be workers, and work is good. It is good, but why do we hate it? Why do 85% of people hate their work? Well, when sin entered the world, work changed. Work changed. In Genesis chapter 3, sin enters the world, and it says in Genesis 3:17, and to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat. It goes on to say, Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And so as a result of that curse and sin, work is hard. And even though in this politically correct mamby-pamby world we have, they have little gadgets for everything to make it easy on you. You have ergonomically designed comfort things no matter what you do. You know, whether you sit in an office, they're always trying to make it better. And that's good. Don't get me wrong. I think that that's good. But it's not like, hey, we don't have it like 60 years ago where if you worked in a factory, you had to grab this great big thing. And so when you see some older people, their bodies are beaten down because of the physical labor. But there's a lot of mental things that go on. I mean, in today's work environment, more and more people, more and more bosses dump on you. They want you to do more with less. There's more demands. And then you're dealing with people. I always say, life would be easy if it wasn't for people, right? I mean, it's true. It's just the way it is. But with those people, you have different backgrounds, and you have different views towards work, and you have different, and then you have sinners. You are working with sinners, and you're a sinner. It's terrible. I mean, there's people who, you know, they're just not nice people. You work with people that are evil people. That's reality. I mean, again, before I went into ministry, I worked at Xerox. There were people there. They were evil. They were liars. They were dishonest. They were all about themselves. They would step on you to get one step above, and that wasn't the only place. Everybody in every workplace where the gospel does not reign, that's what happens. And then you add customers. If you are in the service industry or you're working with people, you're working with customers, they have demands. They have this, they have that, and they're chirping at you. And so we live in a world where work is hard. It's hard. It's just the way it is. Now, God's word has a word for us as workers today. And it's very, very clear. And it's good. And we need to hear it. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5. And as you're turning there, depending on which translation you have, the very first word in verse 5 is either going to be bondservant, it's going to be slave, or it's going to be servant. One of those words. It is, the word is doulos, and it can be translated either of those. It basically means one who is subservient, entirely at the disposal of his master. You're a slave. It is translated slave, servant, bondservant. In Roman times, the term bondservant could refer to someone who had been captured in another land and they are enslaved, or it could be someone who voluntarily serves or is an indentured servant. The Mosaic law allowed for you to be an indentured servant. And there were times where they so loved their boss that even when they were set free, they loved their master, that they would make themselves voluntarily a slave. And it was called a bondservant. And they would have their ear pierced. And so it was, in some cases, very good. And then in other cases, their bosses were harsh and cruel and mean, and there was no way out. There was no way out for them. And so when the scripture talks about slaves and masters, and he talks about that, the question always arises, well, I thought we're talking about workplace. Why are we talking about slaves and free? And does the Bible promote slavery? Well, John MacArthur said, and I think very wisely, Paul upholds the duties of slave and master, of which the modern parallel are the duties of employee-employer. Scripture never advocates slavery, but recognizes it as an element of ancient society that could have been more beneficial if slaves and masters had treated each other properly. And in reality, if you know any history, you know it was Christians who fought for the abolition and the ending of slavery. People committed like William Wilberforce, who basically gave their lives because they realized it's not right. It is not right. Slavery is not right. And yet it's very interesting. When you read through the New Testament, you will read that we're called slaves for Christ, servants of Christ, bond servants of Jesus. You'll see it over and over again. Why? Because for us, Jesus is our Lord. He is our master. He is our King. He is the one, if you're here today and you're a Christian, you owe your total allegiance to Him. And what He says, we do. And there is no getting around it. And for some of you, the biggest thing you're going to hopefully learn today is you're not the master. You may be living like you're the master, but that's why you're miserable. There is one who is God, and if you know Jesus as your Savior, you gladly bring yourself underneath Him, and you do His will. And He has a word for us when it comes to the issue of work. So please stand, if you're able, for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. It says, bondservants. Again, your translation may say servants, slaves. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. May the Lord add His blessing to His word. You may be seated. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at a biblical perspective of work. And there's five things that this passage clearly lays out. And it is. It's very clear on what it lays out. And I know, because I've gone through this myself, where if you don't get this, work and the people at work will drive you crazy. If you get it, God will give you help in this. So let's get started. First of all, Christians are commanded by God to do what their bosses ask them to do. That means your boss, when they ask you to do something tomorrow, you're called to do it. It says, bondservants, obey your earthly masters. That word obey means submit to the authority, carry out the command, and it is repeated in different passages. Obey your earthly masters in everything. Those are, in Colossians 3:20, 2, it says that. In 1 Peter 2:18, it says, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. Ooh, let's just stop there for a second. Did you get that one? With all respect. Man, that's hard. I have a hard time respecting my boss when they're an idiot, you say. And yet, God's word says, be subject to your master with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. And I can tell you right now, that is humanly impossible for all of us. So that is why we do need the Lord, and we need Him at work all the time. Many, many servants in ancient times, they were well educated, and yet they were sometimes more educated than their masters, and yet they had to listen and submit and respect them, and were to do it in fear. And last week, Pastor Jason talked about that is to be our attitude, how we should carry that out. And it's not easy. And you say, well, wait a minute, what if my boss asked me to do something illegal? I don't have to respect them then, or obey them then. And I would say, correct. Just like with the government, if they ask you to do something, just like husbands and wife, if the husband asks his wife to do something, Acts 5:29 says, Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. And yet we have a privilege that the people to whom Paul is writing to did not have. If your boss is that bad and asking you to do things that are not right, You can always leave. They couldn't. They were underneath that. They couldn't like file a grievance to the slave association and say, hey, I got a grievance here. They had none of that. They had no court of appeals that they could go to in many cases. And so we as people who are Jesus followers, the command is really quite simple. Obey. When they tell you to do something, do it. Do it. And I mean, yes, there's parameters of if it's not illegal. And I think the great thing is if it's dangerous in America, we have things you can go to. But you get the heart attitude here that we must have. Secondly, Christians are to work with a sincere heart as you would to Christ. It says, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling with a sincere heart as you would to Christ. Again, we spent one whole week last week because here's the problem. I can tell you right now, here's what's going on. You have a rotten attitude at work, some of you. I mean, if the stats are right, 85% of you hate your jobs. I don't think 85% of you do, but I know there's a bunch of you that do. And part of the problem is we're not obeying our earthly masters with fear and trembling with a sincere heart as you would Christ, because part of it is you're not listening to him. You're not listening to King Jesus. He's not the center of your life. You're not taking captive every thought and attitude and saying, what is a believer? How should I act in this? And so what I'm going to say the rest of the service will mean nothing to you if you rule and reign your life. But as believers, we say, no, Lord, you are my Lord. You are my master. I come to you. I make you my master afresh and help me in this in work. And so I'm to have that same attitude that I have with King Jesus towards my boss. Jesus is worthy, my boss is not. But Jesus has said, I am to treat my boss that way, so I must do that with a sincere heart as I would to Christ. In Colossians, it says kind of the same thing. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but with a sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Again, it all goes back to your fear of the Lord. And whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. When you understand this, this will change your life. You work for Jesus, not fill in the blank. You work for Jesus. If you're a Christian and you're here today, you work for Jesus. Not this company, not that boss. This will set you free. This will indeed set you free. Before I went into the ministry, I worked at Xerox Corporation. I started there in 1984. I was a technician. And in that time of the history of the company, Xerox used to be one of the best companies to work for in America. By the time I got there, 80s, it was a rough financial environment. And everyone, every company, including Xerox, they started to do take-backs. And they used to give the employees, they used to treat them like kings. And then they started to take back and take back and take back and take back. And many of you have gone through that. You used to have all of your insurance paid for. Now you don't. You used to have company cars, many of you. Now you don't. And if you have one, you're paying taxes for it, or you should. If not, you're breaking the law. That's another story. But they came out with all these rules, and then the company kept taking things back. And then we used to have a workforce of like 30 technicians. When I left, we were down to 12. So you were doing the work of two or three people, which in reality you could have done. But it's nice to have a little cush, right? But it was, I mean, the environment was bad. People were negative. They were complaining. And I jumped right in with them. I was crabbing. I mean, here's what happens. You're around crabby people. You're around negative people. You're going to get negative. It's going to happen. And right now, some of you walk into your workplace and there's like a vomiting party about what's going on. And you step right up to the plate and you vomit along with them. And it's like, yeah, this is terrible. Yeah, this is, they don't treat us right. They don't do this. They don't do this. They don't do this. And I will just say this. I was in the same place. My attitude stunk. I was crabbing. And the boss knew I was a Christian. And he pulled me into the office, and he said, "What happened to you? You used to have a good attitude. Now you're like everyone else." And he just put me right on the carpet, and I said, "You know what?" I said, "I am a Christian, and my attitude stinks." And it was just at that time when I heard a message like this. It changed my life. And I said, "Forgive me." I said, "I guarantee you, you will see my attitude change." And by God's grace, you know what I realized? I work for Jesus, not for Xerox. Changed my life. Gave me a different perspective. I worked with a group of that time. It was like 18, 19 technicians that were negative. And they did not, you know, this was not a speaker. This was a blank speaker. And that blank was a cuss word. So, I mean, you know, just negative haters. It was not good. And I realized, you know what? God has placed me here. I am called to be a light, and I'm called by God to work unto Him. And for some of you today, this will set you free. You got to get this. Because if not, your boss will never treat you like you deserve. You'll never get paid what you're worth. No one's going to recognize it. And you will be set free. Which leads to the third point. Christians are to be the best workers. For King Jesus, you should be the best person. I don't care if you are cleaning out sewers. Be the best sewer cleaner you can be for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do and we're called to be. We are, it says, look at it says, verse 6. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will to the Lord, not to men. Again, that's where everything changes. You're serving the Lord. So what are you doing? You're serving the Lord. And you do that, and you are doing it with your best attitude. And by the way, it goes on to say in Colossians, same thing. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers. There have been and always will be people who schmooze the boss. They're not doing any work, and they're getting all the recognition, all the promotion, all the perks, and you're not. That's going to happen. And you're saying it's not fair. And you're right, not fair. But that's the sinful world we live in, and that's where the Lord says, you're not working for them. You're working for me. And I don't know about you, if Jesus is your master, you want to be the best you can for him. You want to work hard. And so that will mean that you are honest, that you are not negative, that you are timely, that you do not rob from the company. Well, everyone's doing it. Everyone's on their phone. Everyone's doing this. And sometimes you're allowed to do that, but we're to be the best communicators. We're to have the most integrity. You're to be the one in your place of work that there's no worries of what's going to happen. And by the way, this starts young for you. Younger people that are here, you got to get this. If you get this, this will change your life. My son, who's becoming an electrician, we've always tried to teach him, you work, you work hard, you have ethics. And it was not going well when he was younger, my younger one, Caleb. And I'm like thinking, and I just thought, I don't want this kid living in my basement when he's 30. Like, this is not good. I don't want that. And he ended up getting into this apprentice program, and he called me about a year ago saying, "Thanks, Dad." He said, "I'm glad you taught me to work and have a good attitude in work." He said, there's been two or three apprentices they've had to fire because the millennials nowadays, they don't want to work. And so young people, you want to shine like a star? Just work, and work is unto the Lord, and you'll do just fine. And it says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And that includes, by the way, if you're caring for older people, if you're caring for children, if you're a homemaker, that's work, by the way. That's hard work, unappreciated work, but work that is glorious. Do that with a good attitude. And work hard at it. Number four, Christians have a mission at work. Oh, this is the biggest thing. Again, we work for King Jesus. He's our master, and he has you strategically placed where he wants you. I'm not at your place. Some of those people you work with will never be in this church, but they will see you, and the scripture calls us to let our light shine. We're ambassadors for King Jesus. Too many Christians live siloed lives where it's like, well, I got my family over here, and that, but that's different than my recreation, and that's different than my spiritual, my church stuff, and it's different from my work. I remember when I was working at Xerox, and everyone knew I was a Christian. I was trying to be a good witness out there, and I remember talking to this guy. His name was Dave, and Dave says, he's like, oh, I'm a Christian too. We were working midnights together. And I said, are you kidding me? And I remember, like, he was much older, but I shouldn't have gotten his face, but I kind of did. I said, there is no one in this company that is more foul-mouthed than you, that complains more. I said, really? I said, and he was telling me about his faith and how great his faith was. And I'm like, your faith isn't being lived out here at work, my friend. I mean, we're called to be ambassadors. I didn't even think the guy was a Christian. And then he told me, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm like, going, wow. Can I say that? The people at work, by the way you work and conduct your life, they should look at you and they say, something different about them. They may not like it. They may think you're judgmental, but they should see in you a character and quality of life that is far different. You know the king of the universe, and that should be our work ethic. And you work, when you work unto him, that changes everything. Think about this. You're going to spend at least a third of your life, if you're a homemaker, it's more than that, a third of your life working. That's a mission field that God calls us to. And in Titus chapter 2, verse 9, it says, bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, which means taking things, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Make it look good. And what is so pitiful, and why, I mean, I've talked to literally thousands of people about Jesus. And you know what a lot of them will say? All you Christians are hypocrites. I worked with a guy. He was the worst person in the whole group in his work ethic. He was complaining. He was negative. We as Christians, there is no place for that. None. Why? Because we're his ambassadors. And you are his ambassador to wherever you're working. Or for that matter, whatever school you're at. Or whatever neighborhood for that matter. So we are to be honest, ethical, positive, a builder of people, forgiving, humble. Because you work with sinful people, they're going to make mistakes. You're going to have to confront, but do it in love. I mean, I'm not saying you're a doormat and you get walked all over, but we're to be biblical Christians in how we interact with people. We're not to be critical. We're not to be negative, complaining, or arguing. We're not to be holding grudges or lazy or unethical. We are to be different in how we live. I mean, I think about that. God uses you. And will use you. And it's funny, because I'll talk to people when I'm riding with the police, and I'll get into a conversation with them in my chaplain duties, and there'll be people who say, "Yeah, I worked with a Christian 15 years ago, and there was something different about him." That should be us. When people think of you, there's something different about us. Why do we do this? Interesting. God rewards Christians. Let's go back to the passage. Verse 7 of Ephesians 6. Rendering service with a good will to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or he is free. God's going to reward you. It doesn't matter if you're enslaved. It doesn't matter if you're free. The issue is, he's going to reward those who have that attitude and do what King Jesus, our master, tells us to do. He will reward that. You're going to get a reward. Your boss is not going to reward you. No one may ever acknowledge the good work that you do and what you bring to the workplace. They often won't. You know why? Because they're looking out for themselves. They're looking out for number one. So you'll do something, they'll take credit for it. And it's like, whatever. But let me tell you, King Jesus is going to reward you someday. You, it says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive back from the Lord. There's a story of an elderly missionary couple. They're returning home from Africa after a long time of really giving their lives in Africa. And at the same time, Theodore Roosevelt is returning from Africa, and he had done a big game hunt. And they pull into the New York Harbor, and there are hundreds of people and dozens of reporters that are there to welcome back Theodore Roosevelt, and they made a big deal about him. But there was nobody there for the missionary couple, nobody. And as they're taking a taxi to the hotel, the husband just kind of lamented. He said, here we are. It just doesn't seem fair. We've given 40 years of our lives to serve Jesus, to win souls in Africa. Nobody cares. Nobody knows. We return home. Nobody's there. Yet President Roosevelt comes back after a two-week trip shooting a few animals. He comes back and they treat him like royalty. It's just not right. And later on that night, they were sitting there and praying as a couple, and the Lord just kind of impressed upon the gentleman, you have not received your reward yet, my child. It's because you're not home. This isn't our home. Your boss and in your boss's approval is not your goal. Living for King Jesus is. And when you have that attitude that whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, you do it for him, he will reward that. He will reward you. It's amazing. Now, all of what that looks like, I don't know. But he will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And here's how that works. I could be a pastor. We could have a church of 20,000. And if I do what I do for money, greed, to have the praise of men, and you clean sewers, and you do it for the glory of Jesus Christ, you will get more reward in heaven than I would, even though I was in the God business, as my brothers will say. Because it's not what you do. And I don't care. It's like, oh, I'm a this, and I'm just a this. There's no I'm a this, and they're just a this. A lot of people think, oh, I'm a pastor, or I'm a doctor, or I'm a, you know, really? I mean, that's great. Use that for the glory of God. But you know, people say, well, I'm just. And when I talk to people, oh, I'm just a this, or I'm just a homemaker. Are you kidding me? You're changing lives. Or I'm just a clerk or a ditch digger. Do they have ditch diggers anymore? I think they do. But the bottom line is, whatever we do it for King Jesus, and he's going to reward that. So your service is nothing. Matter of fact, it says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. So, I'm going to end with two questions. Who are you and why are you here? Who are you and why are you here? Who are you? Are you a Christian? Are you a Jesus follower? I mean, really. And I'm not saying, yes, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins intellectually. I know that he died, was buried, rose from the dead. And yes, I made a commitment to him. And all those things are good. But I mean, is he your master? Is he your Lord? Are you a bond servant? Are you a servant of the Lord? Who are you? Or are you I'm a Christian, but I'm really more concerned about making money, having a secure future. All those things that are not bad. They're just not ultimate. They're just not the first rung priority. Who are you? Are you a passionate follower of King Jesus that will live for his glory? And then, why are you here? Are you here so you can have a secure future? Have a big old bank account? You don't know what your life is. The Bible says you're a vapor. You could have scads of money. You could get your number. You could carry that big number around that you can get that degree. You can do all these things, but your life's a vapor. Why are you here? All those things, again, work hard, do those things. You'll get rewarded. Maybe you won't. But if you're here to make Jesus known, he'll take care of you. He will. It says, my God shall supply all your needs. Maybe not your wants. So I just end with that question. Who are you? Why are you here? Why don't we just bow our heads and take a couple minutes to talk to Jesus about this? Lord, we come before you, and these two questions for some will be haunting, but I pray that that haunting would be turned to joy, to know that who are we? In reality, without you, we're nothing. So may you be our treasure and our all. And may we understand why we are here. Is to make you known and to live for your glory. I pray for the person that's here today that today will be a change for them, just like I had a change years ago when I needed to realize I work for you. Lord, may you do a transformation in people's hearts, that they would realize that you have made them, you have placed them in a place where you want them to be for your glory. And may they go in tomorrow, which is October 1st, may they go into work a totally different person with a new attitude and a new perspective on life and what you have called us to be as your servants, as workers. And how we are to act in a world that desperately needs to see people who are living out what we say that we believe. So Lord, I do pray for that person that today they surrender all to you and they make that change. I pray too for the one that maybe is discouraged, but help them to not grow weary. Help them to understand afresh. They've known these things. They've been living out these things. But may this have been a glorious reminder that you are on the throne. You use things. You have been good to us, and you are working. So, Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this word. May we be different. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we sing and close, don't just let this go. Some of you need to talk to your spouse. You need to talk to a friend. Maybe tomorrow morning at work, you need to talk to your coworker who might be a Christian that says, you know what? Here on out, we're going to have a better attitude. Because God has us here for a purpose. May God work. Don't just sit there and say, that was nice. Engage with somebody how this is going to change your attitude. Or even it's just a good reminder. Because this is life. A third of your life is going to be at work. God has you where you are for a purpose. Let Him use you. And then you're going to have joy. Let's sing together. Let's stand.
Let's commit our lives, our work lives, to making Him known. I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. It's all about you.
Lord, it is all about you. Forgive us when we've made it all about us. And so help us to get back to the heart of worship, that whether we eat or drink or whatever we do for the glory of God. For you, our Lord, are worthy. You are worthy of all that we do. Your word says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen.
Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will.